From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Ed Morton with the news on This Day in Maine, Wednesday, May 8, 2019.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by Diversions Puzzles and Games, committed to offering fun, social, and technology-free ways to connect at Hannaford Plaza by Main Mall and DiversionsGames.com, and by Red Zone Wireless, providing a local alternative for broadband throughout Maine. Learn more at RedZoneWireless.com.
After more than 2 hours of at times emotional debate, the Maine House today passed a measure that would prohibit state licensed counselors from practicing conversion therapy on minors. Conversion therapy involves treatments intended to change a person's sexual orientation or gender identity. But as Mal Leary reports, critics say it does more harm than good.
Supporters of the ban say the controversial therapy is not supported by science, and that national professional counseling groups have deemed the practice to be unethical or worse. Representative Lori Gramlich, a Democrat from Old Orchard Beach, is also a social worker.
Currently, 16 other states have passed laws banning this unproven, unethical, and in my opinion, abusive practice.
Some opposition to the proposed ban came on religious grounds. Other House members argued that the bill goes too far in limiting what professional counselors can say to minors who have come seeking help in understanding issues they may have around their sexuality. Republican Representative Roger Reed is from Carmel.
This bill holds no regard for violation of free speech, for crossing the line on separation of church and state, for intruding into the matters of privacy, or for transgressing the rights of parents as it pertains to their own children.
An attempt to kill the bill survived by a margin of 89 to 49, and an effort to amend it also failed. Some called for an amendment that would ban some specific therapies, such as shock treatments, but provide more latitude to therapists in how they treat their patients. Republican Representative Greg Swallow is from Holton.
I, like many others, do not want children subjected to any form of physical or mental abuse in regards to gender dysphoria. But this bill goes beyond that and invades the area of speech.
The debate included the personal coming-out stories of several openly gay members of the House who spoke about the need to ban the various types of conversion therapies that they say have caused severe mental health consequences, including suicide in adults. Similar legislation was approved during the last legislative session, but was vetoed by then-Governor Paul LePage. Governor Janet Mills has expressed support for a ban on conversion therapy, but has not commented on this specific bill, which faces further votes in the Maine Senate and House. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Mal Leary.
School officials in Lisbon say they're working to help students feel safe in the wake of an alleged sexual assault on school grounds. A Lisbon high school senior posted about the attack on social media earlier this week, prompting a student protest Tuesday morning to call for more action from the school. Patty White has more.
The student, who we're not naming because we don't have her permission, says in her Facebook post that she was sexually assaulted in her car in the Lisbon High School parking lot on Thursday, April 25th. The student says after the attack, she was examined by a doctor and filed a report with Lisbon police. She's received a protection from harassment order, which limits contact with her alleged attacker. But she says she doesn't feel safe enough to go to school because the attacker still attends classes. Lisbon School Superintendent Richard Green says the alleged assault is under investigation and no charges have been filed yet.
I mean, legally, both students have a right to a public education.
Green says school officials are having ongoing conversations with both families to see what they can do to allow each student to feel safe and protected. The student also expressed concern in her Facebook post that surveillance cameras in the parking lot failed to capture the area where the incident occurred and haven't been fixed. Superintendent Green says he expects the cameras will be adjusted by the end of the week.
just recently the issue with that particular area or whatever has just come to our attention. So we looked at it, but again, they were professionally installed, and it's not just something you can go up and change.
Green says he's hopeful there will be more public information within a week. He urges anyone with information about the alleged attack on April 25th to contact his office or the Lisbon Police Department. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
Opponents of Central Maine Power's proposal to cut a new transmission corridor through western Maine are bearing down on efforts to get the company to come up with alternatives to the existing plan. CMP says it's made some adjustments aimed at appeasing concerns raised by conservation groups and others, including a recent pledge to not use herbicides in a long section of the corridor. Fred Bever reports.
The most controversial stretch of the power corridor, called Segment 1, would extend 53 miles from the Canadian border into Maine's North Woods and over to Carrituck. CMP has acknowledged that the project would cause some ecosystem damage along that stretch by clearing a 150-foot swath of woodlands, crossing trout streams, and filling wetlands and vernal pools. Early on, CMP said it would mitigate project impacts by securing permanent conservation easements for some 2,000 acres of land elsewhere and pay the state about $6 million for further land acquisition.
Well, from the beginning, we made a commitment to be out in the community and hear concerns that were raised associated with the project, and then to the degree that we had the ability to improve the project.
Thorn Dickinson is vice president for business development at CMP's parent company, Avangrid Networks. He notes that last year the company said it would bury the high-voltage power line under the Kennebec River Gorge rather than string it above, and since then the company has offered to manage some areas to ease deer travel and to minimize view impacts from Coburn Mountain and along Moxie Pond. And just last week, CMP offered to forego using herbicides on the Canada to Carrituck section.
That's an issue we've been looking at for some time, and Central Maine Power, as part of this, will be using this 53-mile piece to try this out. And we believe that we can do this in a reasonable way, and we think it improves the overall project and responds to interests and concerns that were raised by people around the project.
Some of the conservation groups opposing the project are unimpressed.
This is really not a measure that is going to reduce the severe environmental impacts of this project.
Nick Bennett is senior scientist at the Natural Resources Council of Maine, the state's largest environmental advocacy group. The herbicide measure and other adjustments CMP has made, he says, are window dressing.
This project will still cause severe habitat fragmentation in an area that's critical for many animals' migratory routes. It will still wreck high-quality brook trout stream habitat by removing shade and warming waters. It will still increase the susceptibility of the entire 53-mile region to invasive species.
NRCM, Trout Unlimited, and the Appalachian Mountain Club are all opposing CMP's efforts to win environmental permits from state and federal regulators, and even some conservation groups that haven't taken a formal position for or against are joining the opponents in demanding that regulators require CMP to provide a more detailed and robust analysis of alternatives. Those could include burying all or parts of Segment 1 underground or co-locating it with existing roadways. Rob Wood is a policy analyst at the Nature Conservancy.
Undergrounding along Route 201 would be the most preferable mitigation method. Undergrounding along Spencer Road would be another preferable mitigation method. And then beyond that, we've also requested more information on the possibility of using taller pole structures to maintain a mature forest canopy in the right of way.
In recent filings with the State Department of Environmental Protection, CMP says most of those initiatives would likely be technically unworkable, could cause more environmental harm than the existing overhead route, and could be so costly that the project would not be economically viable. Parties to the DEP permit case gather in Bangor tomorrow for a day-long hearing on those issues. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Fred Bever.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org and join us tomorrow on Maine Calling at 1 when our gardening experts return. I'm Ed Morin.